Dave Consolazio alongside Sam Saig for episode 8 of Running the Option. Sam, how you doing?
Pretty excited, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
I feel like our podcast, Running the Option, got a shot in the arm on Saturday night with brand new storylines and chaos, which is all we asked for the last few weeks.
Last week, you asked straight up for just chaos and something crazy to happen, and last Saturday surpassed our wildest dreams.
Yeah.
We couldn't have handpicked a crazier Saturday. Of course, you have to start with the Wisconsin-Michigan State game. What's insane about that game is that when we previewed it, you said you wanted to see Russell Wilson in a situation where he had to come up big,
yeah.
And sure enough, he had that opportunity.
Yeah, like, I had a wish list. It was a dream scenario. I didn't know if it was going to happen. I really wanted it to. What I didn't count on is that with 10 minutes and 58 seconds left and the score 31-17 Michigan State, and to that point, Russell Wilson having a very pedestrian, to say the least, day, thrown two picks, was pressured the entire game. And in that fourth quarter, he became Russell Wilson the way that I wanted to see him become, and threw two touchdown passes, the one with a minute 26 left to Monty Ball, ties the game. And when that touchdown happened, I was immediately thinking Heisman moment. Like, if they go on to be undefeated, you can look back at that, if they were to win that game in overtime, and say there's his signature Heisman moment if he wants
it. Yeah, it was a methodical drive. He looked completely composed. He's completely unfazed all of a sudden by this road crowd that was giving him trouble the whole first half. And then ties the game up. It looks like we're heading to overtime. It looks like Wisconsin's going to pull it off after all. And then little did we know, the best was not even close to happening yet, as Kirk Cousins throws up a prayer of a Hail Mary, caught at the one, gets the ball in there, and I'm just going nuts at that point. And then the fact that the ruling on the field is no touchdown, it was to some degree clear that he did cross the goal line, but I was very impressed that the refs made that call, because it's a bold call to make. Even if it's the right call, even if it was quote-unquote clear that he crossed the plane, you never actually saw the football cross the plane. You knew from the way his shoulder was and that it was under his arm, but it wasn't 100% clear, so it was a bold call, but it was the right call.
Yeah, I mean, this was not the Doug Flutie play,
no.
You know, where it was caught. I mean, we've seen these plays before, and this one may rank even ahead of those, only, you know, the significance of this game and what it meant to Wisconsin's season and what we thought they could be. It wasn't like the Doug Flutie play or the LSU play where Devery Henderson catches it. This was one of the most debatable call. Some people still think that the game should have gone to overtime. Now I'm with you. I think the ball crosses the plane, but it's so close that there are still people that are like, I'm not convinced that the call should have been
overturned.
Right,
because technically, by the rule, and why I thought it was going to overtime, was it has to be indisputable evidence, and you could dispute it.
You can dispute. I mean, that's the argument I heard all day today on TV.
Right.
Is that they were like, if you're asking if it can be disputed, they said, yes, it can be disputed. So what a time in a game like that where it really was the game that everybody had their eye on, for that kind of play to occur, because how many times do we see Hail Marys thrown up? For it to occur in that kind of a game is pretty amazing.
Incredible finish, and I mean, I'm glad they got the call, in my opinion, right, but you're right, I should preface that by saying in my opinion,
right.
Because while it looked clear to me, we never did see full photographic evidence, which is why, by the book, maybe it should have gone to overtime.
The last thing on that game is Kirk Cousins. You were saying, and I agreed, that he was going to have a huge game. And that prayer aside, because it did obviously help the stats, but to throw for 290 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks, this guy's career. I mean, what's amazing to me is that win over Michigan was a program win. D'Antonio went on for a long time about that win, to beat Michigan when they were undefeated. Then to come back with this game is unbelievable. And Kirk Cousins' career, really, you have to look at and say, what a career he's had at Michigan State to this point.
Criminally underrated.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Wisconsin was off to that 14-0 lead. I thought at that point they were just going to roll, and then sure enough, Michigan State fights back. But that game turned out to just be a precursor to an even bigger shocker. Oklahoma loses to Texas Tech at home. Texas Tech, a 29-point underdog. By the spread standards, that was the biggest upset in Big 12 history. And I don't think you just have to say by spread standards. I don't think you're ever going to find a bigger upset in Big 12 history. This is a team that haven't lost in Oklahoma in 39 games since 2005. In my wildest dreams, no disrespect to Texas Tech, did I ever see that happening?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is just that when we were looking at Alabama and LSU and trying to figure out who is their biggest competition, I mean, heading into this past weekend, who really has a chance to knock one of them off? And honestly, I might have put as my number one and two Oklahoma and Wisconsin. So for them to get knocked off when they were, to me, the two teams that I could think about lining up man-to-man and going head-to-head with those teams, it's incredible that it happened back-to-back in the way that it did. And I will say for Tommy Tuberville, he's been at Ole Miss, Auburn, and now Texas Tech, and he's now 5-5 against top five teams. Now, nothing against Auburn, Ole Miss, or Texas Tech, but to be 5-5 in games like this, it's amazing that this guy just channels something, and I think at halftime he was saying to his guys in the locker room, I've got some tricks up my sleeve, we're gonna get this done, and his players just seem to buy in a top five matchup to this type of thing.
I like how honest he was right after the game. He was saying, right, you know what, like, we know we're not a world beater defense, like, we knew we would just, if we made enough plays on offense and we just made a couple of plays on defense, we could hang on. He was realistic about that. And then this week he was talking about, you know, nobody was talking about Texas Tech. And you win a game like this, it does huge things for recruiting. It does huge things for the program. Really long term, huge for the Big 12. Because, I mean, to see a team like Texas Tech finally get away from the Mike Leach era and have a big win to fall back on in the present.